Yesterday on the program, we brought the story of this man.
This is Howard Dully. In 1960, when I was 12, I was lobotomized by this man, Dr. Walter Freeman. Until this moment, I haven't shared this fact with anyone except my wife and a few close friends. Now I'm sharing it with you.
The story of Howard's quest, learning about the man who performed his lobotomy, and why his family had the procedure done, brought in a flood of email. More mail than our server could handle for a little while. And it's Thursday, so we thought we'd read from some of it. Horrified, fascinated, astounded, repelled, all in just the first 30 seconds, writes Ted Hutton of Jupiter, Florida. Howard's story will haunt me for years and years. Mary Pfeiffer of Peoria, Illinois, caught Howard's story in the car with her husband. She writes, "We sat silent and mesmerized on our journey home. We arrived into the garage about halfway through the tale and dashed quickly into the house to click on the radio. We stood transfixed in the middle of our kitchen as Howard's voice echoed in our ears. As the story ended, tears streamed down my face. I was moved. My husband was as well. What a powerful story. Thank you, Howard, for sharing it with us." And Mark Cole of Kalamazoo, Michigan, writes this, "I was physically sickened by this story. As a psychologist at a community mental health center, I work with many severely mentally ill individuals. I can certainly understand how desperate people were at the time for any treatment that might help. The use of this treatment, however, seems very reckless. Did anyone try just talking to him as a little boy? Thank you, Mr. Dully, for your courage in sharing this." If you missed Howard Dully's story, you can listen to it and download an MP3 version of it at our website, npr.org. On to other topics now. Our story on intelligent design and how academics who subscribe to that theory feel maligned brought in lots of comments. George Halley of Pasadena, California, says he found the story eye-opening. "Very ironic," he writes, "how the roles are reversed. Academia, in this case, being the closed-minded attackers, unwilling to even allow open debate. It is an absolute shame that professors with intellectually honest minds are unable to share their views without fear of dismissal from their employers." Scott Gregg of Portland, Oregon, was one of a number of listeners unhappy with the story. "NPR does no one a service to elevate intelligent design with the theory of evolution. Intelligent design is not a theory. It can make no predictions. It is based on no facts whatsoever. Professors who try to use religion as a way to explain the universe should be fired." We made an error in our intelligent design story. We said that Professor Guillermo Gonzalez teaches at the University of Iowa. He is, in fact, on the faculty at Iowa State University, and it was Iowa State professors that petitioned against him. Finally, a note that came in after our piece on the 30th anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The cargo ship sank on Lake Superior with 29 men on board. This letter comes from Margot Ganson of Kansas City, Missouri. She writes, "Your remembrance touched me deeply. As children growing up on Michigan's St. Clair River, my brothers, sisters, and I watched the Edmund Fitzgerald regularly make its way to and from Lake Huron. We'd run out on the dock and wave wildly to the sailors, and were always delighted when they waved back. We felt a connection to them somehow. I have often wondered whether some of those men who were a fixture in our summers on the river were the very same who lost their lives that tragic day 30 years ago. And I've never been able to listen to Gordon Lightfoot's song without tears and the sense of profound loss that involuntarily washes over me." We'd like to know what touches you or what you're unhappy about. Write to us. Go to npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.
They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters.